Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Weeks ago, I had an interesting thing happen to me. Part of my daily routine is I usually would wear glasses, but I wear contact lenses throughout the day. And during my daily routines, before I set off for work, I go back to the bathroom and I go and put my contact lenses in. Now, my prescription is pretty bad, and I'm quite bad in my left eye, and my right eye is just not as bad as my left eye. But what happened on this day is I was in a bit of a rush, and I went to get my contacts, and I put them in as quick as I could, and then I set off and headed to work. And about maybe 30 minutes, 45 minutes into that day, I'm just looking at my computer, and I'm thinking, there's something just not quite right here. And I know if you wear contacts, you'll begin to do, I squint my eyes, trying to think, is there something? Have I forgot to put my lenses in? And all of a sudden, I noticed in my haste, I had put my wrong contact lens in the wrong eye. Stupid me. And what happened is, the eye that needed less correction was overcorrected. And the eye that needed more correction was under-corrected. So what was happening is one eye was focusing far too much than the other eye. And as I began to think about this, sometimes life can be a bit like that. We over-focus on some things, and we under-focus or undervalue or give less attention to things that sometimes are of most importance. You know, we've done this series, Pains and Gains. And it's so easy in life that we focus only on the pain. That's all that we see. All we see is the challenge, all we see is the difficulties, and we focus on the pain and we neglect or we undervalue the gain that there is in this life and what is ahead of us in the afterlife as well. We have got great gain in this life. We can know Jesus in every single challenge, every single season, and we can know him in a greater way. That, I believe, is of great gain. But he has promised to us as well the gift of eternal life. We're going to spend eternity, that means forever, that means that will never end, in the presence of God. We will see Jesus face to face. I don't know about you, church, but I think that's a great gain. And sometimes life just gets so busy and on top of us that we focus so much on the pain that we forget about that great gain that we have here today and in our future as well. Hey, I think sometimes life can be so confusing. So much things, so many uncertainties, so many variables, so much things that we'd rather not go through. But I love how Jesus, just in his wisdom, brings everything back to something so simple. He manages to get everything in life down to one thing. At times, Jesus says one thing. Remember Martha, when she's so busy and she's so caught up with preparing and serving and getting everything ready in the house, and Jesus says to her, Martha, you're so worried about many things, and you're neglecting the most important thing. Remember, he's asked, what's the greatest commandment? What's the one greatest commandment? And he takes it right down to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength. And then to love others. He takes it right down to one thing. And in this passage we're going to look at today, he brings it to one thing once again. Turn then your Bibles, please, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. In this passage, a man comes to Jesus and he asks him a question. The Bible tells us that this man was a young man, that he was a wealthy man, he was rich. But also, the Bible tells us that he was a ruler. He was a powerful man. It seemed that he had everything going for him. He had time on his side. He was young. He had his whole life ahead of him. He had great wealth on his side. Whatever he wanted, he probably could have just went out and bought it. But he also had power and influence. He would have been used to getting whatever he wanted. And he goes on this search because he recognizes maybe something else that he needs. And he comes to Jesus and he asks him this question. We're going to read from verse 17 of Mark chapter 10. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his time here on earth when he performed so many miracles and taught us so much lessons and gave us that perfect example of how to live here on this earth. Father, I pray over these next few moments that you will remind us of but that one thing which is of most importance in this life, that we would know you and that we would know you in a greater way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This is the only person who came to Jesus and left sad. Other people came to Jesus troubled, wearied, upset, and when they encountered Jesus, they always left in a positive way. There was always a transformation. But this is the only man who we read about in the Gospels that came to Jesus and left sad. Can you think about that today? If you were to meet Jesus today, I'd like to think we would all leave with a smile on our face. But this man left sad. You see, Jesus lays his finger right on the spot of the real issue in this guy's life. The young man had great wealth, and he wasn't prepared to part with it, even when Jesus asked him face to face to do so. This man placed too much value on his wealth and on his possessions and not enough on Jesus. He wanted to know what he could do to attain salvation. And then later in this passage, the disciples, they're a bit confused as well, and they're wondering, well, what can we do to inherit eternal life? What can we do to be saved? But the point of this message is Jesus is trying to get through to them, there is nothing that we can do. There is nothing that we can do to attain salvation or to get eternal life. It's only through faith in Jesus. And at this point, the disciples are still in this old mindset of thinking, what do we have to do? What sacrifice will we need to bring? What effort will I have to put in? How well will I need to perform so that God would love me a little bit more? But Jesus is getting this through to them. Guys, you need to put your faith in me. Salvation is impossible if it's up to you. But with me, all things are possible with those who believe. Jesus is the only means of salvation. So this man comes to Jesus, and he doesn't realize it, but Jesus knows that there's something missing. There is a lack in his life. There is one thing that lacks. On a couple of nights ago, we lost our TV remote. Has anyone else had this problem before? Has anyone else got a sofa that eats TV remotes? Has anyone else got this? Maybe it's just in our house. We've got a sofa that just likes to swallow TV remotes. Doesn't seem to like other things, but pound coins and things like that. It loves fivers, and it loves TV remotes. And we couldn't find our TV remote. That TV was going to be pretty boring just looking at a black screen until I found this TV remote. This man had everything. He had many things. Everything a young man could ever want, money and power and a lot of time in his hands. But Jesus looked at him and says, there's one thing that you lack. And his lack was not an external thing, it was an inner lack. He kept all the outward commandments. Notice the commandments that are listed, they're all outward. They're all things that we can do to other people. He kept all those. Anybody could see that he had done that, but only God could see in his heart. And Jesus lays his finger on the spot and recognizes that he'd broken the first commandment. What is it? You shall have no other gods before me. This man held on to his possessions. It was so valuable to him. Even when Jesus confronted him and showed him the way, he held on to his possessions. He then breaks the second commandment. Second commandment tells us not to make any other gods, no other idols. He worshipped his money. Be careful what you worship. Whatever you worship will control you. Whatever it is you worship will control you. And this guy was so controlled by that which he possessed that he was unwilling to let go. Jesus always sees past our pretense and sees right into our hearts and can see exactly what's going on. And as well-meaning as this man may have been, as prosperous and as good as he may have been, he still had that inner lack within him. And Jesus came that day to set him free from that. But he focused more on his wealth and his value. His possessions, he held onto too tightly, and they had a hold on him. Beware of idolatry. Still believe that today. Still believe the Ten Commandments are for today, the moral law of God. And I believe that today is beware of idolatry. Idolatry doesn't always look like a statue. Idolatry is anything we put in the place of God. Anything that we revolve our lives around before God is idolatry. Of ourselves, let's be honest, sometimes we try and fit everything else around about ourselves. That's pride, that's self. Or even we try and work everything around our work or our career or things like that. All these many things, anything we put before God is idolatry. And Jesus lays his finger on this man and says, there's one thing you lack, and it's an inner lack. It's something within you that only Jesus had the answer to. Rather than give up his wealth, he gave up Jesus. Rather than give up everything that he had, he gave up Jesus. Now, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I can't think of anything that I would give up for Jesus. For me, it's Jesus. The Bible says, as Jesus speaking, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? This man was on a journey, possibly to become the next Richard Branson, Bill Gates, whatever he could have been. Everything in this world, but he lacked the most important thing in this world. And Jesus could see right into it. If you lack this one thing, you don't have anything. And this rich young ruler teaches us that we need to keep our focus on God, not on our stuff, not on our things, but on God. We go into the passage, and the disciples are amazed at his words, he says. But Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Jesus here is not saying if you're rich, you ain't getting into the kingdom. He ain't saying if you've got wealth, that you're bad. He ain't saying anything about that. He's telling us a metaphor here to explain that yourself, your works, your effort is impossible to get into the kingdom of God. The only way is through accepting me as your Lord and Savior. That's what he's telling us. He's not telling us that we should all be poor. He's not telling us that we shouldn't have things. He's telling us that the only way into the kingdom of God is through him. It's impossible. If you think you've got enough money, if you think you're good enough, if you think you're influential enough, if you think when you get to heaven you can say, look at all these things that I have done, and God's going to be, yeah, you can get in, you've totally missed the point. Jesus is saying, I am the only way. I am the only way. And the rich man, he didn't get it. He passed up on that opportunity. And the disciples here are looking, and actually, they are not got the missing thing. They're focusing on the wrong thing. They're thinking about themselves. Oh, what can I do? What can I do? Have you ever been in a situation when you turn up to a meeting and you're all prepared for that meeting, and it turns out on the agenda, the points that you prepared for are not in the agenda? That's really difficult when you go into a meeting and it's a whole agenda and you aren't prepared for it at all. It's like when you did an exam and you thought, I'm going to study these two or three things because these are bound to come up, and I'm not going to spend as much time focusing on those other things. And then you get into the exam, and sure enough, what turns up all those other questions that you thought, nah, they will never turn up. Sometimes life can feel like that. We get so prepared for all these other things that actually what is most important and what comes up in the test, we feel unprepared for. The disciples here are overwhelmed. They're confused. Once again, the disciples have missed the point. And Jesus has to explain to them what it's all about. They're confused. They're focused on themselves. They're looking at this situation as it happens. This isn't a parable. This is a real situation. They're looking at this and they see, well, if this guy can't be saved, well, how can I be saved? If this guy with all his power, money, influence, if he can't be saved, then what help have I got? In fact, this is what they say. I love what the message says. It says this, that set the disciples back on their heels. Then who has any chance at all? They asked. Jesus was blunt. No chance at all if you think you can pull it off by yourself. Every chance in the world if you let God do it. If you let God do it. And the good news today, guys and girls, is that he has. And he's made it possible. Maybe you're here today and all you see is the impossibility of your life and your circumstances and your situation. And today, I believe this is true not just for entering into the kingdom, salvation. I believe that those mountains in our lives, those immovable situations, those things that seem to be impossible, with God, all things are possible. And wherever you find yourself today, whether you're yet to make that decision to accept Jesus as your Lord, or whether you're on the journey and you're just fighting something just now, I want to come with a great encouragement today. If you're relying on yourself, you've got no chance at all. But if you're relying on God, you've got every chance in the world. Because what is impossible with us is possible with God. Come on, think about it. What are you going through right now? Everybody's got things. Everybody's got stuff. Everybody's got challenges. Everybody's got pain. Everybody's got things that we wish that maybe this wasn't here right now. But God is actually in that. God is in that moment helping you, shaping you, and bringing you through. I love that we've got the spirit of an overcomer. We've got the resurrection power within us. I'll try this side. We've got the resurrection power within us. A little bit more convinced, we'll try here. We've got the resurrection power within us. Oh my goodness, Stuart. Another laughter, that. That was a better response than the resurrection power that is within us. We've got the spirit of an overcomer. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive within you this morning. That's what made you a new creation. That's what made you a new person. And he's within you. And that which is impossible with us is possible with God. He's more than able. Maybe this morning we need to change and move our focus from our pain and our stuff to our faith and who we're putting our faith in. Who are we relying on this morning? Who are we relying on? Are we relying on ourselves to fix everything, to make it all happening? Or have we got our faith in God, the only one who is able, the only one who can take an impossibility, an impossible situation, and he can see it happen? I believe today for mountains to be moved. For those mountains which seem immovable, those that when we speak in the name of Jesus, they can be cast into the water. I believe today for mountains to be moved. What are you relying on? What are you building your life upon? Jesus takes it all down to one thing. One thing. What's impossible with man is possible with God. Salvation is only possible because of Jesus. Jesus declares this. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, not even a rich man, not even a young man, not even a powerful man, comes to the Father but through me, except through me. Jesus is the only way. And I want to speak into someone today. Maybe you're here and you've got it figured out that I'm just going to do this and do that. I'm going to help as much people as I can. I'm going to do as much good things in my life so that when it comes to the end of my life, the good will outweigh the bad. But Jesus doesn't say anything about that. He says the only way to the Father is through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus makes the impossible possible by our faith in him in every single situation. So he tells the guys, nothing's possible unless you believe in me. And then Peter says these words. I love how he says here, Peter, the one who speaks up, we have left everything to follow you. Think about it, Peter, the fisherman, the one who maybe had wealth, the one who gave up everything. He thought, wait a minute, how am I going to get into the kingdom? Actually, he doesn't realize he's answered his own question. We have left everything to follow you. We have left everything. The rich man wasn't willing to leave anything. But Peter and the disciples gave everything. They surrendered their life to Jesus. And whatever was given back to him was up to God. We have left everything. We have left everything to follow him. This is exactly the response that Jesus was looking for. Total surrender to the Lordship of Christ. I think it's amazing that something that seems so negative, surrender, can actually be the most liberating experience in life. It seems like we've got to give up. It seems like that we're going to lose out. But actually, it's not until you come to that point of totally surrendering your life to Jesus that you begin to live that abundant life. Because until then, you're still trying to make it happen. You're still trying to work it. And you're not allowing him to work through you. And the disciples, even though they didn't realize at this point, they'd left everything and they'd realized that Jesus was their Lord. Total surrender. Hey, it begins at salvation, but it doesn't end there. It's only the start. As we live each day, every day of our lives, we give it to him. We surrender it to him. We put him first in everything. Are we completely trusting God this morning? So the rich man had a missing thing. The disciples were focusing on the wrong thing. But later in the New Testament, we learn about someone who kept the main thing. And he had this one thing, this resolve, this mindset within him that everything else will fall into place after this one thing. Turn with me to the book of Philippians. Paul writes this letter to the church in Philippi and gives this testimony to what his life is like today. Philippians chapter 3, let's read from verse 7. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Things that used to be a gain to him are no longer a gain. So his religious status, his power, his influence over other people, those used to be gains. He used to see that as what his life was all about. But now that he's met Jesus, he says, I consider them as loss. See, God can change our gains. God can change that. I wonder if you were to ask yourself today, actually, what am I believing for and living for in this life? Is it just to get more stuff? Is it just to do that? And I'm not saying that's wrong. Don't hear me what I'm not saying. But if it's not Jesus, if Jesus isn't our one thing, we are missing out on so much. Verse 8, what is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things, just like the disciples, and I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Not my works, not my efforts, not anything I could ever do, but faith in Jesus. This is it. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead, from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is past, what is behind, and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul kept the main thing, the main thing. Paul knew what his one thing was, that I may know Christ. You know, guys, I want to encourage you this morning that our one thing in life has got to be Jesus. It can only be him. I love what he says in verse 7, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. This is the opposite of the young ruler. He couldn't say that, but Paul, he looked at everything. He took an account of his life and he said, everything else means nothing compared to knowing Jesus. Paul is clear. He's not confused like the disciples. He's fixed his aim on Jesus. He's got the right focus. He's focused on God. He's fixed his faith and he's believing in Jesus. But one thing I do, what's your one thing this morning? Life is so confusing, is so busy, there is so much going on. But if you were just to define your life in one sentence or in one phrase or get it right down to what is of most value to you, if somebody was to ask you, what's your purpose? What's your reason for living? What's life all about? You know, when you go through challenges and pains and difficulties, if you don't know what your one thing is, life can get so much harder. I love what Stephen Furtick says. He says, we would prefer to see God in our success, but often he reveals himself to us in our struggles. I want to know Christ. Paul says right after that, to know the power of his resurrection. But right after that, he says also the fellowship of his sufferings. If you want to be more like Jesus, if you want to know Christ, you've got to realize that in the difficult times and the challenges that we go through, we can know him in that as well. That is what we get our reward, our gain through those difficult seasons when we go closer to Jesus. Often that's one of the main purposes for what we're going through. Is he just wants us, he wants our attention. He wants to know us in a greater way. Things that I would prefer not to go through. Things that I would never choose. But we know him in a more intimate way, that I may know him. I'm going to ask the band to come. We're going to prepare our hearts in a few moments as we come to communion. And communion is that thing that we do so that we don't forget our one thing. That is what we do. Jesus gave us this instruction. He gave us this. And he said these words, this do in remembrance of me. Jesus gives us that instruction, and we're going to do that in a moment. But I do want to give an opportunity for people today to make that decision to make Jesus their Lord and Savior. You may identify with that rich young ruler today. You've got everything. Everything that you could possibly want. You've got time on your side. You've got power. You may be in a good job. You may be in a good place. And you've got plenty of money, everything. But Jesus would say to you this morning, you lack one thing, and it is the most important thing in this life, but also in our future as well. And I would love to give you an opportunity today. This Friday past, Billy Graham, he had his funeral service. Incredible to watch that man who had gone all around the world and did so much good, it preached the good news. But he said this in an interview to David Frost many years ago. He said these words. Well, I'm going to heaven, not in my good works or because I preached to all these people or read the Bible. I'm going to heaven because of what Christ did on the cross. The only reason that we will get into heaven, it's nothing because of what we have done, but only because of what Jesus has done. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I wonder if you're here today and you've never made that decision to accept this invitation which Jesus gives to you right now. You see, when he was on the cross, he was there in your place. He took your place. He took the punishment for your sin. This is the great exchange where he took your pain so that you could receive great gain. When he was on the cross, he took your place. He took your punishment for your sin. Everything that you have done that's offended God, every regret, everything you feel guilty about, he took the punishment in that moment. He was the sacrifice. He sheds his blood right then so that today you can receive his forgiveness when you ask him to forgive you into your heart. You're here today and you say, I need to know this one thing I know is lacking in my life. I need to know Jesus. I want Jesus to be my one thing. If that's you today, ask as every head is bowed and each eye is closed. We respect this moment. You're here and you say, that's me, Daniel. I've tried everything else, got everything else. Nothing else is satisfying. Nothing else has done it. I recognize there's a need in my life. And I want to know Jesus. If that's you this morning, as I'm looking around this room, and you say, yeah, Daniel, that's me. Every head is bowed and eye is closed. If that's you this morning, can you just raise your hand and I'll see it. I'm looking all around. Looking on the main floor. I'm looking in our balcony. You're here today and say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know him for sure. I'll give you one last chance. Just raise your hand and I'll see it this morning. So church, what's our one thing? What's the one thing that makes sense to the rest of our lives? We're going to sing this song right now. The band are going to lead us. It says this: everything I have means nothing. Jesus, if you're not my one thing. My prayer for us all here today is that we will make Jesus our one thing, our single purpose, everything that our lives will revolve around is Jesus and him only.